Blog Talk Radio.
I'm running away from this pain. I'm trying to find a new way where the sun's shining down on my face. I'm running away. You're in a toxic relationship. Time to be
Talk Radio Studios in Union City, New Jersey. This is Dating Today with Fernando Uribe here and you there. This the 20th of December, the year 2016. Folks, this week's edition of Dating Today with Fernando Uribe is brought to you by, as always, by the Mason Civic League. You can find out more information about this outstanding nonprofit by going to their website, www.masoncivic.org. That's MASONCIVIC.org. Now, folks, the Mason Civic League was established in 2010 by former Hoboken Councilwoman Beth Mason, and the mission of the Mason Civic League has been to assist community members and groups in need. They've been sponsoring programs and events to promote the arts, continuing education, and activities for residents of all ages. You can visit their office Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. by going to 1200 Washington Street, in the Uptown section of Hoboken, New Jersey. That's right, folks, the birthplace of baseball and old Blue Eyes himself, the late, great Frank Sinatra. You can also call him directly at 201-706-8088. You can also write to them info@masoncivic.org. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and, of course, follow them on Instagram. Again, many thanks to the Mason Civic League for being a dedicated sponsor here on the podcast. Folks, I also want to send a shout-out to Son Cubano. You can check out more information about this amazing local restaurant, www.soncubanonj.com. Now, Son Cubano is located at 40-4 Riverwalk Place, right outside the Lincoln Tunnel, along the waterfront in West Newark, New Jersey. It's easy to get to via New Jersey Turnpike, Garden State Parkway, New Jersey Transit, and, of course, Uber and or Lyft. You can call the reservation hotline 7 days a week, 201-399-2020. Now, Son Cubano is one of New Jersey's premier award-winning restaurants, bringing incredible Cuban cuisine with the beautiful skyline of New York City to enjoy 7 days a week. So whether it's lunch, dinner, or any special occasion, make Son Cubano that place where you need to be at. Again, make sure you like them on Facebook and, of course, follow them on Instagram and Twitter. I also want to shout out tonight, folks, to Cromcakes.com, a great local media site, www.K-as-in-knife-R-O-M-C-A-K-E-S.com. It's run by one of my dearest friends, Ms. Ashley Cromcakes. Again, she's been a contributor and a co-host here on the podcast during the year. And, again, it's a wonderful website. You should definitely check it out as often as you can. Always a lot of stimulating and very informative stuff on there. Also, folks, one last shout-out tonight goes out to Rough Rehab. You can check them out on their website, www.roughrehab.org. That's RUFFREHAB.org. Now, Rough Rehab, ladies and gentlemen, it is located at 360 Route 46 in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. It's a great no-kill northern New Jersey-based animal rescue shelter. So if you're looking for that wonderful new pet for yourself, for your spouse, or even one of your children, folks, you cannot go wrong with Rough Rehab. Check them out online, and they'll make sure to get you with the right pet in the right home. Again, check them out, roughrehab.org. Again, a shout-out to them. Shout-out to crowncakes.com. Also, Son Cubano, and of course, our great dedicated sponsor, the Mason Civic League, which bring you Dating Today with Fernando Uribe. Folks, toll-free hotline to call in tonight in Opie is 646-649-1926. Once again, 646 649-1926 is the toll-free number to call in and opine about anything and everything in today's dating scene. Also, make sure you write to the show's inbox, ProfessorFUJ@gmail.com. You can also reach me on Twitter at TheGloriousFUJ. Also, don't forget to follow me on Instagram. Type in my name, Fernando Uribe. I'm the handsome guy with the Dallas Cowboys t-shirt. Or you can just look up my Instagram name, which is at @your_favorite_Fernando. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, it is the week before Christmas, and what can I tell you? Hope everyone's got their shopping done. Hopefully, for a lot of my fellow educators, we're on break, which is great, and we'll be on break until the new year, until pretty much a little bit into January, so I'm happy about that. Get to relax at home, catch up on my Netflix and Hulu, and really just relax. And it's great just to be home in my pajamas and not worry about anything, as all grades have been submitted online, and just, you know, moving forward here and relaxing during the holiday season. So, again, hopefully for all of you, your holiday break is coming up shortly, and you'll be able to enjoy it with friends and family again. And so it'll be a Christmas edition here of Dating Today. And I want to share with you something tonight that I think goes a long way. And sometimes it's an experience, something you have to go through during the holidays. And, you know, really tonight what I wanted to share with you, my great audience, and again, I can't say enough about how dedicated you are and really the response I get weekly, whether it's via email or text, and just letting me know that you enjoy the podcast and you recommend it to friends and family and coworkers. So I'm really glad that you do. And again, all the way here in the New Jersey area, you know, starting in Hoboken, of course, all the way down to Raleigh, North Carolina, down to Miami, out to Dallas, Texas, even all the way out to Los Angeles, California. It's, you know, it's everywhere and anywhere here in the continental United States here, the fans for Dating Today with Fernando Uribe. So, again, I'm really thankful to all of you who tune in every week, whether you tune in live or you tune in on the archives and you listen to it on your way to work tomorrow, whether you're doing laundry, whether you're maybe still studying for final exams. I know some students of mine still have some final exams. Or you're just relaxing at home. Again, I appreciate everyone that tunes in every single week here. And, you know, folks, the holidays are certainly a special time for all of us. You know, it's a chance for us to spend some time with family and friends. And really, you know, it's something that if you get to spend it with someone, that special someone next to you, that's even better. But not all of us have that luxury. And it's not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's the end of the world, and I'm not saying, you know, you have to sort of, you know, look for the nearest bridge. But more often than not, many of us during the holiday season are going through a breakup. And that's a really difficult experience to really, you know, go through. And, you know, I've done that. I've had to live through that in my lifetime. I remember a few years back dealing with the breakup over the holidays. And it was tough, you know. And I remember as supportive as my family and my friends were, you know, it was tough. I remember sitting there on Christmas and thinking about, you know, my ex and I at the time, you know, we had been broken up and we didn't break up under the best of circumstances. So being around family was really important. You know, I could say that my family was instrumental in my healing. I know my friends were too. I mean, the fact that my friends were able to, be there and be supportive and just, you know, not sort of just hold my hand through the experience or bash her or just, you know, sort of, you know, throw under the bus, which isn't what I was looking for. I think what I was looking for is just sort of, you know, humor and things to distract me. And it was very beneficial. One of the things that I can say honestly about my buddies and, you know, some of my dearest, you know, friends as well, you know, both male and female, were the fact that, you know, they've been very helpful. I remember even a few years back before that, during the 2011, you know, it was a breakup during that time period. And because, you know, we didn't break up under the best of circumstances either. But, you know, I felt that was at peace. I felt that the right decision was made. And you know, even though it sucked, I think emotionally to be alone during the holiday season, I felt that, you know what, hey, I have that. You know, I have this sort of peace of mind that maybe I didn't think I would have. And I did. And, you know, one of the things that makes the holidays, again, and we've talked about in previous episodes here. Again, you can check them out if you missed any of the previous episodes here on Blog Talk Radio. Make sure always go to blogtalkradio.com/datingtodaywithFernandoUribe. Again, and we talked about this at length here in the previous weeks. And I sort of want to, you know, not be a sort of a downer here, but I think it's very realistic. You know, a lot of singles are going through a tough time during the holiday season. Again, even if it's a recent breakup or they've just been single for a while. But again, for those of us listening tonight that are going through a breakup, it's a really trying time. It's really draining. It's something that, you know, for many of us, we do our best to cope with. We try to put on a good face in front of our family and our friends. Because we certainly don't want to worry them. We don't want to make them feel, you know, on edge. We don't want to make them feel bad. We don't want to make them nervous or concerned about us. And that was one of the things I remember for me that was really imperative. You know, my parents and my family are very supportive of me, and so are my friends. And I think that what I tried to do consistently during breakups, especially during the holidays, was, you know, just to sort of put on a good face and be out there smiling and, you know, be positive and be cheery and not look depressed or melancholy. And I didn't want that because, again, at the end of the day, I have to go to sleep and I certainly have to sit there and wake up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, okay, well, today's a new day. Let me see how I function. And I was able to do that. The last thing I ever wanted to do was ever sort of put my parents through that sort of emotional roller coaster. And I didn't want that, and nor did I want that for my friends. And I remember, you know, it sort of stands out for me. I remember a few years back dealing with the breakup over the holidays. It sucked, you know. It sucked because we were together for, you know, over a year, and it was one of those things that, you know, you expected not to sort of break off the way it did. And a lot of my friends were surprised. I know my family was surprised. But I knew going into the holiday season that, you know, we were not going to get back together. And I was good with that. I was at peace. I was really, you know, I think sort of relieved. At the time, you know, we had been souring for a little bit. There were some issues there that we really, I guess, never coped with. And I think it just kept building and building and building. And I think that, you know, at some point it was bound to sort of overflow and just burst. You know, that bubble finally burst for us. And certainly, you know, there's no right time to ever break up, and there's no good time to make that sort of announcement. And you know, and that was tough. And I remember on my parents during that time, it sucked because I remember that my parents liked her and they got along with her, and it was unpleasant. You know, I think, you know, for us when we break up with the ones we date, certainly, you know, it's an emotional type of experience for us. But, you know, don't kid yourselves, folks. It's also emotional for our parents, especially for those of us that, you know, date people that our parents take a liking to and that they, I wouldn't say have an attachment with, but that they have a good rapport with, that they, you know, have warmth, you know, towards each other. And they, you know, they're hospitable and they get along and, you know, they have, you know, some form of communication. And it's one of those things where, you know, hey, you try to cope with it, but at the same time, you're hoping that your parents and your family cope as well. And that was one of the things that probably bothered me the most. Not so much how I was feeling, because, you know, I was going to feel the way, however I was going to feel, and I was going to get over it however long it took me, which thankfully it didn't take very long, but I knew that for my parents, maybe it was going to be something that was going to be maybe a little more, you know, intensive in terms of the emotional baggage that came with it, you know. And, you know, I think that during the holidays, it's tough, you know. And, you know, when you're in the middle of a breakup, you know, maybe you're in shock or you feel relieved. I know I felt relieved, you know, a few years back. And, you know, you could, you know, for many of us, you know, you can be wallowing or enjoying your newfound freedom. And sometimes, you know, maybe you find yourself rewriting the history of your relationship. Maybe you're wondering where you went wrong, or are you just working your way through a big box of ice cream and binge watching on Netflix or something? And often, you know, we show destructive behaviors during a breakup, and it's normal because, you know, breakups are hard. The problem is that eating or drinking your way through the pain actually doesn't help you. It doesn't even bring you the comfort you want or that you need. You know, most of the time, memory is not your friend. So you know, you'll only remember sort of the good times instead of understanding that there were also bad times that ultimately led to the breakup. And listen, no matter what people tell you, getting over an ex can be hard. And it can be something that takes time. It's something that takes a lot of discipline. It's something that takes, I think, a lot of mental toughness to sort of, you know, get through. And, you know, tonight what I really wanted to share with you here this evening is sort of the best techniques to, you know, help you get over this breakup with the least possible trauma. And, again, it's not always going to be easy. I think that when we have an emotional investment in a person and we date them for X amount of time, you know, we get used to them. We get used to sort of like their little idiosyncrasies. You know, you start thinking about your little personal, you know, inside jokes that you have with each other that you know that only you laugh at, you know. And you start thinking about maybe the previous Christmas when you were together. And you start thinking about, you know, what could have gone better, you know, what went wrong, you know, what could you have done? And the reality is that, you know, you're exactly where you're supposed to be. You're exactly where the universe wants you to be at this time, where they want you to sort of, you know, be in that frame of mind where now it's about focusing and moving forward. And I knew that, you know, going into, you know, the new year coming up, it's, you know, it's therapeutic. And for those of you going through a breakup, what I can tell you is that, you know, help is on the horizon. Again, the new year is sort of the a chance to start fresh, this, you know, new beginnings, to sort of put the previous year in the rearview mirror, to think back what went right in the last year, how you can improve upon it, and what went wrong, and how you can also improve upon it. You know, and one of the things I've learned already at 40 is that you never stop growing as people. I think you never stop growing. I think you try to continue to be better. You should want to try to be better. Continue, you know, trying to be, you know, the best possible person you can be. Whether it's, you know, doing volunteer work or engaging in philanthropy. You know, I remember, I'll tell you something, and I think I've talked about this in previous episodes, but probably the single biggest relief for me, and I remember, you know, coping with a bad breakup in 2008, was the fact that I got involved in philanthropy. And I remember just sort of, you know, diving headfirst into, you know, hosting my breast cancer, my first ever breast cancer event in October 2008, which I did at Wicked Willie's, a great venue. And I remember that during that fall season, I was still in grad school. I was, you know, still taking classes. I was starting to work on my dissertation. I was teaching part time to sort of get myself acclimated into academia. And I remember, you know, how philanthropy and how sort of the ascension into it helped me heal. And I know that after that event, and you know, I'd mentioned this before, I think that when I first hosted this charity event in October 2008, I didn't think I would get 30 people to show up, because it was the first time I was hosting something like this. I didn't know who was going to turn out. I didn't know how much money I was going to raise. And you know what? I can't say enough about what a great beginning that was. I had over 60 people show up, and we raised over, I think, over $1,200 that night for the American Cancer Society. And I remember that, you know, doing that and again, hosting that event and then getting involved in philanthropy more so was really great to heal. And I remember that during the holidays that year, during the you know, Christmas season, hosting a toy drive there that December, it was, you know, I can't tell you how much better I was by not just keeping busy, but by being productive and doing good things for others. And I knew that by doing so, that was going to, I think, maybe get me through the tough times emotionally. It was going to sort of, you know, help me heal a lot quicker. And, you know, I've talked about this on the podcast previously about staying productive and doing things for others and doing good. And that makes you feel good, ladies and gentlemen. And that really helps you. Again, if you're going through a bad breakup, this is something that'll just sort of, you know, you can reinvest your energy into something else instead of sort of, you know, wallowing in misery, or, you know, you sit there having to sort of dwell on why your relationship didn't work, and you start second guessing yourself, you know, what could you have done better? And, you know, the reality is that the way it was supposed to happen, and it did. And no matter how much you want to rewrite history, or no matter what you want to sort of, you know, sit there and second guess, you're exactly where you're supposed to be at this moment. And it took me a lot of years to learn that. You know, as a person who's dated a lot in his lifetime, I learned that I'm exactly where I need to be in life. This is exactly where the universe wants me to be. That's it. And for all of you listening tonight, for whether it's my former students or current students or a lot of my peers, whether they're in my age group or not, we are precisely where we are supposed to be at right now in time. And you might sit there and say to yourself, well, you know, things could have been better. Things could have, you know, maybe had I done this in my relationship, maybe had I done that. No, ladies and gentlemen, you're exactly where you need to be right now. And, you know, tonight, again, as I wanted to mention to you, you know, getting over a breakup is a challenge. The bigger challenge is to do so without, you know, as much trauma as, you know, that you could possibly have. You know, if you can avoid it, that's a great thing. And, you know, the first thing that I think that'll be very helpful for you tonight is to sort of, you know, go against the flow. You know, the first thing you feel in a fresh breakup is often like, well, you know, my life's not in good shape right now, or for some of us, you know, my life has ended, and, you know, you start, and sorry about this, folks, it's just a, you know, little bit of a sniffle I have here, so sorry about that, you know, my voice isn't the same as it is always, every week here. But again, you know, when we start thinking about, you know, well, where's my life headed to, you know, where am I right now, I sort of want you to take a moment and challenge the idea. You know, if you and your ex had not broken up, you would never be able to find a better partner. So actually, in a way, you should be grateful for your ex, because they gave you the opportunity to live a new experience and meet new people, and subsequently, you know, hopefully meet someone new that matches more what you're looking for in a partner. And listen, and one of these people may turn out to be your amazing next partner. And that's something that, you know, I'm always grateful for when it comes to an ex. I mean, I have the highest opinion of them, but I'm grateful for them because of the lessons they taught me and the lessons that the breakup taught me specifically. Which kind of brings me to my next point, and it's the fact that, you know, you should really archive your past relationship. And, you know, listen, let's be fair. You can't get over a breakup if you're constantly inundated with your ex's posts on social media. And what I would suggest you do, and again, this is something that may not come easy to us, to many of us, but you need to, you know, break all the connections between you and your former partner. So unfriend, unfollow, and forget about his or her account. You know, according to a lot of data that I've read online, you know, your grieving period post-relationship will last longer if you're stalking your ex online. So what I strongly urge you to do is don't do it. You know, maybe some of us feel tempted to, but don't do it. You know, after you've cut your online ties, you know, the next thing I would really, really suggest you do is collect all the things that remind you of your ex. You know, put them in the box and hide that box in the farthest away corner of your home or in a garage or anything. You know, what I would always urge you to do is don't ever burn the box or destroy it, because, you know, because you might one day want to look at that thing inside or show them to your kids when they go through their own breakups. You know, it can be very instrumental. It can be very therapeutic. But again, gather all your things that remind you about this person. And, you know, that's that's probably one of the best pieces of advice I've always given friends of mine, you know, when it comes to dealing with a breakup. You know, if you have any shirts or anything in your apartment or your home that reminds you of an ex, I think it's important to just sort of put it in a box. And I've done that. And, you know, what I'm, it's kind of funny, but I remember sort of putting a lot of things into one specific box. And in over time, I found it within myself to get rid of that box. It may not happen right away. It may not happen in a few months. It may not even be the first year. But I know that at a certain point, you'll know when this box no longer has to be in your home. And I remember my most recent breakup a few years back that, you know, I made it a point to put a lot of clothes that I had that I received as gifts, subtle little things, and I put them in this box. And I remember at first, you know, I packed it away and I didn't look at it for the entire holiday season. I didn't look at it well into the new year. And I remember in the following year, right around the summertime, probably a little after 4th of July, I remember doing some clean out a storage closet I have here at home. And I remember coming across it. And I remember that as I was cleaning it out, I remember my parents came over to see me, and they were just hanging out with me and BSing. And I remember as I was just cleaning stuff out, you know, my mom came across the box, and she knew what the box was because, you know, I had a big X on it. And, you know, my dad, my mom looked at me and I looked at them and I just said, okay. I pulled the box out. I looked at it. I opened it up. And the interesting thing was that when I opened it and I looked at the contents, I didn't get emotional. I didn't get nostalgic. I didn't sort of have like a moment of pause. I looked at it, I shuffled through it, and I sort of just, you know, put it away. And I put it to the side, and I looked at my parents, and I, you know, I said, oh, just put that to the side. Let me just keep organizing some stuff out here, some clutter that I need to get rid of. And, you know, my parents looked at me and said, what do you want to do with this? And I said, you know, I wasn't expecting to come across it, which is fine. And, you know, I put it aside. And I remember at the end of the night, I remember I went out that evening to meet up with some friends in Hoboken for drinks. And my parents were still over and they said, hey, what do you want to do with that box? Do you want to keep it there? I mean, it's not really occupying a lot of space. But if you put it back in that corner, it's not really, you know, bothering anybody. And, you know, do you feel you're at peace to do so? And do you feel like you're going to be, can you let the box go? Can you sort of just, you know, put it outside for the garbage? And I looked at my parents and I said, you know what? Not really. I'm fine. You know, I'll just leave it there. It's okay. And my parents were like, okay. And I remember that as they went upstairs, you know, they were just hanging out. And then right before I left, I went back into the storage closet. I looked at the box and I said to myself, I was like, all right, you know, I got my closure a while back. I've been at peace for some months. And you know what? Now's as good a time as ever. So I remember dragging the box out and it was a bit of a big box, not too heavy, but a bit of a big box. And as I was taking it and putting it out into the sidewalk in front of my driveway, I looked up at the window on the second floor and I saw my parents looking out and they saw me. And, you know, my mom and dad just had this sort of face and sort of like a very quick smile. And I looked at them and I was like, I smiled back and I left the box there. And I think that was a really good moment for my parents. I think that, you know, I had not talked about her for many, many months. I had not shared my feelings about what was going on. I had not shared how I was recovering, if I was seeing anybody new, if I was just doing whatever. And, you know, I knew that I was not engaging in self-destructive behaviors. I knew that I was being productive. I was being healthy. I was working. I was teaching. I was, you know, planning vacations. I remember I was actually right around the time I was actually going away to Vegas, around 4th of July. And they knew that I had been healthy. They knew that I had been productive. They knew that I had been, you know, really handling myself well. And I knew that they, I think deep down they were proud of me, because a lot of parents sometimes worry about their kids, and they worry about whether or not their children are really healing, and if they ever will heal. And I remember just for that subtle moment, looking up at the window and then looking down at me and just sort of just smiling, you know. I remember, I think after I got back from Vegas, I remember my parents were like, hey, you know, how'd you feel about putting that box out there? You know, because I remember my parents had mentioned to me, well, you know, we had gone to that storage closet before to look for some things, and we came across that box, and, you know, we didn't say anything to you. We felt that, you know, the moment will come when you, as a grown man, you know, is going to make the decision to say, you know what, this box is no longer necessary. I don't need it. Not because I'm being nostalgic. I just never bothered thinking about it. And again, you know, I don't regret doing that. I think that it was therapeutic. You know, if some of you maybe need to keep the box because, you know, maybe some of you have kids and, you know, you may want to keep the box and sort of have that be sort of like a helpful tool for your children when they go through a bad breakup and you want to be therapeutic, that's fine. I mean, if you want to do that, hey, more power to you. I've just learned that it's been therapeutic for me to just, you know, get rid of that and be done with it. And it's not always easy, because I know that, you know, it's something that could take a long amount of time. And I remember when I was in Vegas talking about the story with my buddies over dinner before we went out to check out the Chainsmokers. Well, I actually just came to mind right now what a great show they were at Hakkasan at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. But anyway, I remember just mentioning that, and I remember that my buddies had said to me, hey, yeah, well, you know, we're really proud of you. You know, we've seen the way that you've just been for many, many months now. And I remember one of my buddies, who, again, who had also gone through a bad breakup during that the same holiday season as me, had told me, like, man, you know, like, you've been a source of strength for me. You know, I've seen you be like a pillar of strength for us. You know, like, you've been a tough cookie, put on a good face. You've been that, you know, that good soldier, that tough guy that, you know what, that really set the bar high about how mentally tough we have to be and about showing emotional strength. And, you know, I didn't realize I was sort of being that inspiration for my friends, because, you know, I've been going through my own stuff just like they were. And you know, of course I would follow up with my buddies and make sure that they were okay. But I never wanted to be sanctimonious. I never wanted to sort of stand on my high horse or preach or stand on some sort of moral high ground, because I couldn't. You know, I had to cope with it in the best way that I knew how. And for my friends, they had to, you know, cope with it in the best way that they could. And it's something that I think, you know, was really, really therapeutic. And, you know, I remember doing that by getting rid of that box, and that box was helpful. And again, I think for all of us that try to do this, I think it's something that, you know, again, you know, we have to do it on our own time. We have to do it in such a way that is going to be at a pace that we're comfortable with. And you can't rush it. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to throw everything out like in 2 days. Listen, you need time to grieve. And sometimes breakups, you know, take longer than others. And I don't ever want to, you know, sit here and dictate to my audience how to grieve. You know, you have to grieve in your own way. You have to sort of grieve, you have to grieve in a manner that is going to be therapeutic, but at the same time, you know, productive. You know, it can be harmful. And most importantly, it can be self-destructive. Another big piece of advice I can give you tonight, folks, is, you know, work, you know, if you can. You know, all your grief and anger can be directed and put to use in your work, you know. When your mind is occupied with deadlines and tasks, you won't be thinking of your ex. You know, at the same time, you know, diving into work helps you sleep better. It'll tire you out, in a sense, you know, so you won't have the energy to sort of cry your nights out, which I know some friends of mine have gone through. I never have, and I'm glad that I never got to that point. And again, I don't think less of you if you have cried yourself to sleep, you know, thinking about a breakup. It's normal. You know, we all deal with grief differently. You know, another advantage of working is just maybe your career will flourish or something else that you're doing will flourish. And this is going to motivate you and help you recover from the breakup, you know. I mean, who knows? Maybe you'll get a promotion. Maybe a project you've been working on will expand and it'll really, really grow. And I remember, again, you know, going into the new year after a breakup, I remember I had my March of Dimes event, you know, in 2014. And I had been pretty good for some months already. I had been, productive. I had been recruiting contestants for my date auction. I had been getting sponsors. I started seeing a woman during that time, very, you know, for a little bit, you know, I think, which was helpful. And it was great, you know. It was one of those things that kept me busy, kept me focused. And, you know, the previous year when I hosted my March of Dimes event, I don't know, my ex at the time was there. And certainly, you know, I raised a good amount of money. And subsequently in 2014, I beat that total. And it was great, you know. Not because I felt the need to sort of rub it in her face or publish things online and in social media that sort of, you know, broadcast it like, hey, by the way, you know, guess what? My philanthropy is still flourishing and it's flourishing even more. I didn't think I needed to do that. You know, I felt that, you know, I was being productive in my own way. And I was being, you know, like I said, I was being very, very, I was channeling my energies into something very, very productive and making my event better and more successful than the work. It's work. It takes work. It takes dedication. It takes effort. It takes a little bit of luck, too, I think. But if you work hard and the effort's there, everything sort of pans itself out. And that was great, you know. And I remember that. I had friends of mine who, you know, we, you know, were trying to, you know, get, you know, through a breakup, you know, and I had friends going through the same thing as me. And I remember, you know, trying to just, you know, do good things and be positive and channel my energies into something worthwhile. And it was working for and volunteering for the March of Dimes. They're a great, great organization. And again, it's, you know, coming up in 2017, that'll be my first event of 2017 in April, you know, and I'll certainly share more information about that in the coming weeks. But I remember that I think part of me sort of like the, not a moral victory, but I think a lot of my friends had said, well, you know, hey, guess what, you know, your event went a lot better than last year when you were with her and the girl you're dating is a lot hotter. So I think that's sort of a measure of revenge and you know what, hey, you know, you're the one that is winning out here. And you know what, I as much as I wanted to relish in that premise, and a lot of my friends had sold me that bill of goods, I never looked at it that way, you know. I looked at it as, well, okay, you know, listen, my event's getting local exposure, you know, we have a lot of mutual friends, especially on social media, and yeah, things are going to be broadcasted, and, you know, she'll see it. And, you know, and I remember the interesting thing that after my event, I think that weekend, I think right before, actually the night before the walk, you know, I remember getting a random text. I think it was around a little after midnight. And it was really funny because I've sort of developed a skill where I can delete a number and a name, you know, a contact from my phone. But somehow I'm pretty good at remembering numbers. I'm pretty good that when I see a number, I'll remember it. And I remember being out the night before, you know, I did my event on a Friday. I said I was going to stay home and relax on Saturday and then do the walk on Sunday for the March of Dimes at Liberty State Park. But I ended up going out Saturday night, and I was out in Manhattan, and it was interesting. I was out at the Gansevoort Hotel on Park Avenue in the rooftop. It was, you know, kind of a nice night. It was late April, not overly warm yet, but still nice enough to be outside and, you know, have a few drinks on the rooftop and whatever. And I remember looking at my phone and seeing that, and my buddies were, you know, just hanging out there. And I felt this sort of moment of, I guess, superiority. And I just took my phone and showed the screen to them. And I said, whoa, will you look at this? Check this out. And my buddies just looked at it and they laughed. And that was the first thing I did. I looked at it. It was a simple message like, hey, Fernando, it's me. Heard about your event last night. I'm glad it went really, really well. I'm glad it went really well for you. I mean, I'm sort of thinking back. I don't have the text on me to tell you verbatim what it said, but that was pretty much like the essence of it, you know, the text, the context of it. You know, I heard it went really well. You know, congrats. You know, I'm really proud of you. And it was just sort of funny because my friends were just like, wow, you know, for all that this girl wants to talk about, you know, keeping to herself and moving on just like you have, wow, you know, like it was sort of funny that she was still creeping around. And I got a laugh out of that. I really did. And I remember my friends were like, you know, just laughing as well. And they were just like, wow, you know, hey, man, you know, sometimes, you know, you win, bro. And I was like, it's not about winning. I knew for a fact it was her loss. I didn't really care at that point. Again, the first thing I said to myself, well, actually, one of my buddies said to me, like, listen, the chick you're dating right now is definitely 10 times hotter, so you don't have to worry about it. And I was like, yeah, that's true. Who cares? You know, whatever. But it was interesting, you know, putting that much work and effort into my event really was beneficial. And then the same thing, you know, later on in the summer, doing a great event for a dog rescue, and then subsequently the rest of the year. So I knew that dedicating myself into my philanthropy and putting the work into it would pay off, and it did. And it really was beneficial. It really, really was, and it helped out a lot. And, you know, speaking about friends, as I mentioned just right now, the example, you know, another very therapeutic element about being able to get over a breakup is spending time with your friends. You know, maybe, listen, early on, I know maybe you don't feel like going out, but you know what? Going out with your friends is going to be extremely beneficial. And let's be honest, you know, being alone makes you prone to just sitting there depressed at home or crying or thinking of your ex. So you need to get out there and socialize. Now, listen, again, I'm not saying you have to get involved with anyone else. Just socialize and have a good time. Go out, meet people, go out, get drunk, you know, go have a good time, go dancing, go play beer pong, go on a trip. And, you know, I remember during that time period, I remember, you know, months after my last breakup, I remember just going out. I remember going on a vacation. Now, mind you, I mean, it had been a good amount of months since the breakup, but, you know, one of my buddies was like, listen, let's just go to Vegas this summer. You know, let's go to Vegas. Let's hang out. We haven't been to Vegas in a few years. Let's just go and just, you know, go fucking crazy. And we did, and it was fun, and it was great, you know, and we went out, and not that the trip was therapeutic because I didn't need it, per se, to get over my ex, but I think it was helpful, you know, and especially was helpful to one of my buddies who I think had not recovered as well as I did. It was still therapeutic nonetheless to go on a trip. And in general, just going out, we ended up going to down the shore to go, you know, to go bar hopping down there. We ended up going out, I think, one night into the Hamptons. A friend of ours that worked in the city, you know, took us out there for, you know, during the summer. And it was great. You know, we got to go out there, meet people, hang out, go crazy, drink, whatever. And it was therapeutic. And the most important thing there was just hanging out with my friends. And they helped out tremendously, not just my buddies, but I remember, you know, my other, like my female friends, my good female friends that were therapeutic with me. And we'd go out for lunch, or we go hang out at a great, you know, Pier 13 in Hoboken, which is a great, great venue during the summer. We would do that, and we would find ways to just hang out and you know, really just be out there and relax. And again, you know, spending time with your friends who you maybe had not seen in quite some time would be very therapeutic, you know. And, you know, probably the last thing I could suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, is to get involved in new projects. You know, kick the past and embrace your new life by getting involved in a new project. That's the one single best thing I can tell anybody who's trying to get over a breakup. You know, take up dancing or a new hobby, learn a new language, you know, maybe get a pet. You know, any of these things can help fill the gap left by your last relationship. At the same time, listen, a new project provides you with a new skill, which, hey, you never know. It could be useful in the future. If you choose to get up, every single person that's told me, they've never regretted that decision because they'll never be alone again. And that pet has been, you know, helpful and therapeutic to them. You know, coming home and seeing the look on your puppy's face. And, you know, no matter what happens, your puppy's going to be there. Your puppy's going to be there and be with you to the end. You know, the same thing with a cat if you're into cats, you know, whatever, or a bunny rabbit, you know, whatever. You know, those are things that were very, very helpful. And like I said, for me, for example, my new project was just sort of, you know, working and on this book, you know, working on Dating Today. You know, I had been working on it sporadically for a couple of years, you know, analyzing my dating history and my life. And I remember I was like, you know what, let me get back to working on it. Let me get back to doing some revisions. Let me get back to getting it done. And it was great, you know, and it was therapeutic to sit there and look back at my life and look back at my old relationships and what went right, what went wrong, and, you know, how I became a better person after every breakup. And I did. I can honestly tell you that, you know, looking, you know, at 41 now, when I was 31, you know, I'm a completely different person. I know I'm a much better person. I think I'm a much more compassionate person, believe it or not. For some people, that's hard to believe. But being more generous of a person, being more understanding, I think being more analytical and, you know, really not specializing, but really allowing myself to be more of a critical thinker. And those are all characteristics I would have never had or developed years and years ago. And again, that's sometimes what relationships do, and that's when breakups are very helpful for a lot of self-evaluation, for reflection. And, you know, tonight, listen, I hope that tonight you really got a sense of what, you know, dealing with breakups is all about. And again, you know, if you missed any part of tonight's broadcast, you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/datingtodaywithFernandoUribe. Again, all the archives of 2016 are there for you to listen to absolutely free from any PC, Mac, smartphone, or tablet. And again, I always welcome your comments and feedback. I always try to make the show better and better each and every week. And again, I want to thank my listeners for tuning in. And again, during the holiday season coming up now, especially this Sunday, Christmas Day, for those of us that don't have that special someone, you know, it can be tough, but it doesn't have to endure. You know, I've always read, and I think we've always heard the quote that, you know, tough times don't always last, but tough people do. And that's probably the single best piece of advice I can give you tonight, folks. You know, again, get through the holidays, be productive, enjoy the time with family and friends. You know, one thing I always learn too, especially during the holidays, and, you know, I'm really blessed with my grandmother. You know, she's 98 now, and my grandma has been a blessing to my family, and to have her for another Christmas is something that, my goodness, I can't tell you how grateful I am for that. And I know my entire family feels the same way. And I'm grateful this year for my significant other who, you know, puts up a lot of stuff, puts up a lot of bullshit sometimes. But I'm thankful that she's there, you know. And, you know, it's something that she drives me crazy sometimes, and she's a pain in the ass. But, you know, I'm grateful for her because certainly, you know, has put up with a lot more stuff than I could ever expect anyone to put up with. So, you know, think about that during the holiday season if you're able to, you know, enjoy that with that special someone. And if you can't, not the end of the world. Enjoy it with friends and family, you know, enjoy all the good gifts you get, hopefully. Some money, some electronics, some gift cards. Hey, you know, it's Christmas. So hopefully you'll have a good one here. And again, for all of my audience tonight, I want to wish everyone here on Blog Talk Radio a very Merry Christmas coming up this Sunday. Enjoy it with your family, also with your friends. Hopefully you get a lot of great gifts. Enjoy the football. And yet, hopefully, my Dallas Cowboys clinch the NFC East coming up next week. It'll be a great Christmas gift for me to see the Cowboys clinch the NFC East second time in 3 years. And hopefully home field throughout the NFC playoffs as well. But more importantly, folks, what I'm hoping for is the health and happiness of all you, my listeners, who have continued to be loyal and supportive here on Blog Talk Radio. So, again, I want to thank, as always, the Mason Civic League. Again, you can check them out. More information on their website, www.masoncivic.org. Call them Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., 201-706-8088. You can visit their office, again, 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and also follow them on Instagram. I also want to acknowledge Son Cubano, located at 40-4 Riverwalk Place along the waterfront in Western New Jersey. Check them out on their website, www.soncubanonj.com. Their reservation hotline, 7 days a week, 201-399-2020. Again, lunch, dinner, or any special occasion, folks, always go to Son Cubano. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and also follow them on Instagram and Twitter. Again, I also want to acknowledge here, www.cromcakes.com. That's K as in knife, R-O-M-C-A-K-E-S.com. A great local media site, and also Rough Rehab, a great local no-kill based animal rescue shelter in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey at 360 Route 46. Again, check them out online, www.roughrehab. Thank you to all of them for being so supportive of the best 30-plus minutes of commercial-free dating advice available anywhere online. You guessed it. It's right here. Dating Today, each and every week, with yours truly, Fernando Uribe. I'll see you next week, folks, for the last episode of 2016, sort of a year in review, and sort of the best ways to approach dating in 2017. So make sure you're here next Tuesday night. Again, your favorite dating show anywhere on the World Wide Web, especially here on Blog Talk Radio. It's always Dating Today with Fernando Uribe. Good night. Wait for it. Wait for it. That's right. Good night. Union City, my town, here in the great state of New Jersey. Have a good one, folks. And as always, stay classy, everyone.
I'm running away from this pain. I'm trying to find a new way where the sun's shining down on my face. I'm running.